Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. If she could be a professional athlete, it would be in tennis. She loves the outfits and sculpted legs. Jessica Labby, our co-host, would love to be an Olympic downhill skier. Even though she says after her many ski falls and traumas, she has no business skiing anymore. And then there's Mike, our producer, who says he would play football, of course, and for the Dallas Cowboys. He admits, though, that if he tried now, he'd get hit and just lie on the ground and cry for an hour. Put these three together, and you never know what you'll get. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
I really am not a very good tennis player. However, I can ski decent. My kids can ski better than me.
You know, I've never tried skiing in my life.
How is that possible?
I don't know. When I live in New England.
That's odd.
It's scary. So much fun.
It is. Well, let's get to it, guys. Today, we're going to talk about cholesterol. And you know, I want to start off by telling you about something I have a little bit of a beef with. Why is it that cholesterol is a household name, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody would say, ooh, cholesterol, I've never heard of that. But yet, do you think the average household uses the word subluxation?
Most people don't know what it means.
That's right.
I didn't know.
The reason people know what cholesterol is because there was enough of a marketing push to make it a household name. And, you know, if you compare that to subluxation can be way more detrimental to health. But, you know, we're going to talk about that at the end of the podcast. Let's just start off by talking about what is cholesterol. Because everyone thinks about cholesterol and they think, ooh, bad, right?
Right. It always gets a bad rap.
Right. Okay. So what it is, technically, is it's a whitish, waxy fat, which is also called a lipid, that is found throughout everybody's blood and tissues. It's in our blood, it's in our tissues, and it's not necessarily there because we ate something with cholesterol. It's there because our liver makes about 1,000 milligrams a day of cholesterol. Did you know that? Even if you don't consume any.
Really?
Yeah, our liver makes cholesterol.
So we need it, obviously.
We do.
Yeah, and about 80% of it becomes bile salts, and that's what your liver uses to digest fats when you eat them. And then there's about 200 milligrams that's for other functions. And, you know, if your diet contains cholesterol, then your liver makes a little bit less because our body is so smart. And this is interesting. The typical American diet is about 250 to 350 milligrams a day of cholesterol. That's how much an average person would take in through diet. But only a third to a half of that is absorbed. So dietary cholesterol is only about 10 to 15% of the cholesterol that's even in our bodies. And did you know if you were to eliminate cholesterol, then the liver would just make more, and the liver can even make it out of sugar and starch, not just saturated
fat. Our bodies find a way, don't they?
Yeah, and if the liver isn't functioning well, then we have to get cholesterol through our diet because we need to have that. You know, there was a study that was done at the University of California, Berkeley, and it was published in a book called Know Your Fats. And it said that dietary cholesterol improves mental ability in the face of advancing age and declining memory. So we need cholesterol. It lines the cells of our bodies, and it's essential for our bodies to function well.
So why does it get such a bad rap then?
Well, and it's all about whether or not the cholesterol becomes oxidized. So do you know what that means? You know, if you leave a metal out in the rain and it rusts, that's an oxidation.
Yeah.
If you cut an apple in half and leave it on the counter long, it gets brown. That's an oxidation process. And what happens is if the cholesterol in our bodies gets oxidized, that can result in the buildup. It hardens, basically, and it can build up and become plaque, and that can harden the arteries or clog the arteries. So before we get to the question of oxidation, I want to talk for a moment about how important cholesterol is, because actually it's essential to life. It's a vital role in the formation of our cell membranes. It's a precursor for steroid hormones. So if you hear about testosterone that you need to grow and estrogen that women need to be feminine, it's a precursor for that. As I mentioned, it helps form bile in the liver, which aids in digestion in our small intestine. And it actually helps our body make vitamin D.
Sounds pretty important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. So, you know, instead of thinking of cholesterol as this awful thing that we put into our body, it's important to know that our bodies are smart. Our bodies make cholesterol. Cholesterol in and of itself is not the culprit of disease. What happens is we can get high cholesterol for various reasons. And depending on the quality of the cholesterol, it can build up plaque in the body. So first, let's talk about what can cause your cholesterol to be high. Now, we already talked about how, you know, only about 10 to 15% of our cholesterol is from diet. Some of the culprits of diet is partially hydrogenated oils. You know, we've talked about this. You know, Jessica, gosh.
I just tell you something that just burns me up right now about that?
Yes.
Okay. I talk to so many people that have high cholesterol and they're taking medication, but they're also eating margarine.
Ooh, that stuff's bad.
And margarine, I mean, does it's it not elevate your cholesterol?
Yeah, it's completely partially hydrogenated oil. So shortening, margarine, all of that. And, you know, it comes from corn oil or soybean oil. And one thing that happens when you consume partially hydrogenated oils is it can suppress the thyroid. And it's been shown, and this is going as far back as the 1930s, that when you suppress the thyroid, it raises your serum or your blood cholesterol. And restoring thyroid function brings cholesterol back to normal. And I don't necessarily mean taking thyroid medication. I mean cleaning your diet up of the partially hydrogenated oils. Because what happens, since the thyroid converts cholesterol into hormones, all these signals that trigger these need for hormones are undoubtedly going to trigger the production of cholesterol as well. So when the thyroid system isn't functioning right, cholesterol levels will just naturally rise. You know, and that's interesting because we're being taught by our society to see our body systems as separate. You know, oh wow, cholesterol has to do with thyroid, has to do with eating hydrogenated oils. You know, you have to look at the big picture. And you know, the picture is so clear when you study the research and you look at the literature. You know, and the thing with soybean oil, it predominates our foods. You know, if you start to look at what Americans are eating, you know, the form of partially hydrogenated oil, shortening, margarine, soybean oil, it's everywhere. And what happens is these oils are oxidized fats. So we talked about the oxidation process.
So that's where it comes in.
It is. And these oxidized fats not only raise cholesterol, but they cause heart disease. Now, the other thing that's been linked to suppression of the thyroid is high fructose corn syrup.
Bad stuff.
Yeah, which we know is the number one sweetener in the American food supply. And interestingly, I want my listeners to know this, just in this last week, it's been brought out in the media that they're rebranding high fructose corn syrup.
Corn sugar, they're calling
corn it. Corn sugar, and it's the same thing. You know, and it's so interesting, this push for how high fructose corn syrup is really okay, all of the commercials that were out, literature that was placed in doctors' offices. The public has not been fooled. And so now there's this rebranding. And again, what I find interesting about the media, especially the internet, is that people don't want to be fooled. So, I mean, it's all over the place. Corn sugar is the new rebranded name.
Doesn't it sound friendlier than high fructose, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds more natural, but it's the same thing, right?
It is the exact same thing. Yeah. And then, you know, there's the question of, well, does my body just make too much cholesterol? You know, because that's the answer that would make someone feel okay about taking a medication. Oh, I have high cholesterol. It's just what my body did. It's genetic. Has nothing to do with how I eat. You know, that's possible, but it's absolutely not common. And that goes back to the belief that our bodies are smart. You know, if our bodies were smart, we wouldn't just randomly make too much cholesterol. Though there's got to be a reason why the body's not functioning well, something with the liver, something with the way that the body is trying to digest the foods that we're eating.
I remember when I was in my 20s, I was diagnosed with high cholesterol and I changed my diet. And the big thing that I took out was the sugar. Mm-hmm. And then I got retested and my cholesterol levels went back to normal again. So it was the sugar.
You know, and what happens though is not everybody would be willing to do that. It's so much easier just to take the drug.
Of course.
You know, and the reason I know that's true is just within the last 4 years, the number one selling drug in our country was Lipitor, which was for cholesterol. And the only reason it's not the number one anymore was because in 2006, Merck, who makes Lipitor, lost its patent protection. So now generics can come on the market, and there's so many different generics, it's no longer the number one selling drug. The number one is Vicodin, but the number two selling drug is the generic version for cholesterol. It's Zocor, which is technically Simvastatin, which is also made by Merck. And Lipitor is now number seven, but you know, the number of people on cholesterol medication is unbelievable. What I want to do is take a quick break, because when we come back, we're actually going to talk about how sunlight is the cholesterol vacuum cleaner.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Mike, did you know that sunlight directly lowers cholesterol?
No, I didn't. Good. Another reason to go to the beach all the time.
Seriously. What happens is sunlight converts the cholesterol that's on our skin to hormone precursors, including vitamin D, and that's used to make substances like testosterone. So basically, the cholesterol in your bloodstream migrates to the surface of the skin to replace the cholesterol that was converted. So when you sit in the sun, it literally is like a vacuum cleaner sucking the cholesterol out through your skin. So it's been shown that people who get adequate sunlight.
And who in New England really gets adequate sunlight?
Well, we did this summer.
This summer we did. And you just year round, you have to make a conscious effort.
Just to get outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, expose your face, expose your form, you know, and not enough to get burned, of course.
Without the sunscreen.
Right. Just let your body take in some sunlight.
Fascinating. You
know, here's the big question, though. I guarantee the reason that people would take a cholesterol medication is they want to prevent what?
Heart disease.
Yeah. And ideally, they want to prevent death from heart disease. They don't, you know, that's the fear, right?
Right.
So I think that the question would be, does high cholesterol cause heart disease? You know, and the answer for this is only oxidized cholesterol causes coronary heart disease, not normal cholesterol. So the old adage of stay away from meat, stay away from dairy, saturated fats, it has not been proven that just the consumption of cholesterol will cause high cholesterol. What matters is if the cholesterol is actually oxidized. And that happens from free radical reactions when you consume, like we said, hydrogenated or refined oils. What happens is once the cholesterol is oxidized, it can more easily attach to the artery walls. And it's when it gets sticky and it attaches to the walls,
right. Then
it hardens, and that's what we call plaque. So basically, there's less room for the blood to flow through. You know, and if we look on food labels, looking for partially hydrogenated or hydrogenated oils is a huge key to making sure this doesn't happen. You know, and because basic cholesterol testing, it'll tell you a number, but it does not tell you if that cholesterol is oxidized. So even if you take a drug that lowers that number, you might have just less oxidized cholesterol, but it doesn't mean it won't attach to the wall.
Do they have a test that tests like the difference between good cholesterol and bad cholesterol? Though?
Yes, there are tests, and I'll mention that. There's tests that you can take to see if the cholesterol is oxidized.
Right.
But you know what's interesting is really the main approach from a doctor, if someone has high cholesterol, and this is basically what they're told to say through drug companies, is that you have to avoid dietary cholesterol like meat and dairy, and basically just general recommendations to eat better. And that's not necessarily going to make a difference if whether or not the cholesterol is oxidized. It's like you said, Jessica, getting away from the sugar and the hydrogenated oils.
And eat your eggs, because the yolk where the cholesterol is the most nutritious part, and it has vitamin D in it.
Yeah, and it's really been disproven that you have to stay away from eggs to manage your cholesterol. It's just not even true anymore. And, you know, really what we just talked about led us to the assumption that the culprit then would be artery wall damage. You know, we don't want to have the plaque attached to the wall. But this is interesting. Cholesterol may only attach itself to the artery wall if the artery wall is damaged or scarred. So first of all, the artery wall needs to be damaged and scarred, and also there needs to be cholesterol that's oxidized. Mm-hmm. And this is interesting. There's three ways that the artery wall can get damaged. One is chlorine in the water.
Wow, we swim in it, we bathe in it, we drink it.
Yeah, what happens is the chlorine can actually sear the artery wall and create a less smooth surface, so the cholesterol has an ability to attach. The second one is hydrogenated oils. So not only can they oxidize the cholesterol, but they actually can damage the artery wall itself. And the third one is homogenized dairy products. So what happens is the homogenization process is it makes the molecules in the dairy products so small that they can actually severely scar the artery walls. So it's not necessarily the fat in the dairy products, it's the homogenization that's the problem. So if you have low fat and skim milk, that's the most homogenized. Basically, homogenization is what makes the butter fat not rise to the top of the milk. So if you get raw milk or milk that's not been homogenized, you'll still have that cream on top.
Yeah. I love that cream.
See, a lot of people
top.
Don't like that, though.
Oh, it's so good.
Because it seems unnatural to them, you know.
Which it's completely natural.
I know.
And it's the healthiest way. You know, because the thing is, even if you have lots of cholesterol or you have a little bit of cholesterol, if the artery wall is damaged and the cholesterol is oxidized, it will still attach. There's a study that was done, it's called the Framingham Heart Study, and it monitored 5,000 people for several decades, a long time, and it determined that people who eat more cholesterol have no more tendency to develop coronary heart disease than anyone else. You know, isn't that crazy? Albany Medical College did a study, and they reported pure unadulterated cholesterol is not harmful to the arteries and cannot initiate or promote heart disease. So it's not eating cholesterol. It's doing damage to the artery wall. And before we give you a nice list of what you can do and not do, I think we really need to talk about cholesterol-lowering drugs. You know, because we talked about the real problem may be whether or not the cholesterol is oxidized. And even if the drug lowered the cholesterol, it's still oxidized. There's just less of it. So if the cholesterol is not oxidized, then you're just exposing yourself to expensive drugs with side effects. You know, and the question, I guess, is do the drugs work? One thing that we've learned is they can be effective at lowering the number, right? And isn't it interesting people get so obsessed with just having that number be at the right place?
Right.
You know, just get it under 200 or even, you know, under 180 now, which is...
Well, it's something they can wrap their head around.
Exactly. You know, so. Without really asking the question.
Right.
You know, because, you know, for example, this was back in 2006, but there was a TV ad for Crestor. And it actually has on the bottom of the ad, I have a picture here, Crestor has not been shown to prevent heart disease or heart attacks.
But take it anyway.
Right. So, what I mean, right there, it says it'll bring the number down, but studies show it will do nothing. So, what's the question? If the question was, how can I prevent heart disease or heart attacks? Isn't the answer should really fit with that. Instead, it brings a number down, but it doesn't necessarily do anything long term for you.
You know, what's really funny is, a lot of patients in our office will tell their doctor, you know, I don't want to go on drugs. What else can I do? And they say, take fish oil. And I was watching TV one night recently, and they have a new cholesterol-lowering drug that's made of fish oil. So they chemically altered the fish oil so they can patent it and sell it as a drug because they're realizing, hey, it works.
Follow the money. Well, and what happens with cholesterol drugs, what they do is they interfere with the liver's production of cholesterol. So they will temporarily lower how much cholesterol your body's making. But in most cases, there's been no proof that that will actually change your risk of having heart disease or a heart attack. Now, there's been some more recent drugs that have come out that show, and they'll even say in the ad, that it will lower your risk. But what's interesting is if you really read the fine lines and read the research behind it, there may be a decreased risk of heart attack or death from heart attack, but there's actually an increased risk of cancer.
Hmm.
You know, so what are you trading there?
Yeah,
you know,
the lesser of two evils.
Huh? Right. And the moment you stop taking the drug, the cholesterol level will shoot back up. So this is a lifelong drug.
Right.
And because the drugs haven't addressed the problem, you know, really what you're doing is you're submitting yourself to side effects. So let's talk about statin side effects. And this would be for Lipitor, Zocor, Provacol, I can't even pronounce these things. Provacol, Mevacor, Altacor, Lescol, Crestor. This came from newmediaexplorer.com. People have reported, because of taking cholesterol medication, trouble swallowing, trouble talking and enunciating words, feeling fatigued all the time, neck aches, motor neuropathy, which mimics ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease, blinding headaches, nausea, vertigo, disorientation, memory loss, extremely dry eyes, pain and stiffness in the neck and calf muscles, abdominal pain, muscle pain, weakness, spasms, a buzzing feeling in their legs, coenzyme Q10 depletion, which is ironic because that can cause heart problems in and of itself, breast cancer, and memory loss.
You know, my dad had a terrible reaction to cholesterol medication twice. Once about 10 years ago and another time this past year. And it finally woke him up and said, you know, I'm not going to, I mean, he had severe shoulder pain. He couldn't work. And he changed his diet and his cholesterol went down and he's monitoring it himself.
Yeah, I can't tell you the number of patients he'll come in with, you know, three or four or five of these symptoms looking for answers, and we'll review the medications, and there's very obvious possible links between the medication and how they're feeling. So you can't ever forget that medications, even if they're necessary to save a life, have side effects. And oftentimes people can't put those two things together. And, right. You know, oftentimes they'll realize that the potential benefit of the drug does not outweigh the risks or the side effects that they're experiencing.
I think I'll take the heart disease over all those side effects.
Well, and that just comes to taking responsibility. And the great thing with lowering cholesterol is there's some simple things you can do. So let's review this. Mike, you asked me about tests that you can take to see if your cholesterol is oxidized.
Right.
And there are several websites. For example, lipoprofile.com, the VAP test, thevapts.com, and the other one is bhlinc.com, where you can order tests to have that done. The second thing is getting sunlight. Ideally, 15 to 30 minutes a day in and of itself can help your body normalize.